Mother's Day to the mothers that are watching. A special happy Mother's Day to Sister Holden. We love and appreciate you. Today, I want to give honor to my mum. She was the most beautiful, self-sacrificing mother you could have. She passed away in 2014 and we miss her dearly. I have great memories of my mum. In 1970, we repented on the same night. Then we were both baptized in Jesus' name on the same day. My mum would never go to sleep unless she'd read her Bible first, no matter how tired she was. Mum had many hardships, but I never heard her complain once. Just before she passed away, I was called to say that she was very distressed at 4 a.m. and could I come up and comfort her. I went up and put some music on and laid beside her. Before I could comfort her, she had her arm out around me, trying to comfort me. That was my mum. She loved her family so much. She was the best grandma and mother anyone could ever have. We loved her dearly. Happy Mother's Day, Mum.
My mother's name was Ruth, and she grew up during the Depression. She was a teenager during the Depression and then lived through the Second World War. And these two things had a very, very great impact upon her life. My mother was always very, very thankful, always thankful for the least of things. She was a hard worker and particularly bore a very heavy load after my father got sick. And then after my father died, Mum was left with three children to look after herself. My mother was very, very loving and caring. I have a very, very fond memory of my mother one day chasing me around the backyard with a straw broom, and I was running and I jumped over the garden that was in the middle of the yard, and then she followed close behind me with the straw broom, got it caught in the tree. So when I looked around, there was the straw broom hanging in the tree, and my mother was looking up at me, or looking at me, and then looking at the straw broom. She burst into laughter and we both laughed together, and eventually she just told me to get down the backyard and do what I was told. When we used to talk about being naughty, she said, always proclaimed that we were the perfect children. She always had time for us, to love us. My mother passed away in March 2017 at the age of 93. Before she died, she was instructing me about what to read out of the scriptures at her funeral. And she was particularly interested or stressing that the Lord had to be magnified. She asked me to read Psalm 111. Part of that is, serve the Lord with gladness, enter into his presence daily with thanksgiving and praise. I give thanks. I thank the Lord for my mother.
So beautiful to honour the strength and the resilience of those mothers who have gone before us is very special. Right now, we are going to have the tithe and offering details on the screen. Please feel free to give your tithes and offerings online at this time. Being Mother's Day, it has been decided that anything that is not designated to tithes or any other specific place is going to be sent to the Compassion Project in Mizoram, India. As you might know, the Suzanne Downs Boarding School runs on quite a tight budget. They only cover the running costs and the costs of the children from the orphanage to attend the school. So you know that school has been closed. India has been locked down for nearly 2 months now, and the teachers at the school haven't been working, and there's no infrastructure there for any online learning to be happening. So we would like to be able to help the teachers during this time, and we know that teachers often stand in the gap of a mother for children, so we want to be a blessing to them. So just a reminder today, any offering that is not designated this morning will be given to the Compassion Project in Mizoram. This morning we just have a few announcements, very exciting announcements. And the first one is that Our prayer meetings this week are going to be held at church, which is a wonderful thing to see that slowly, slowly, step by step, we're getting to a place where we can be together. But for this week, our ladies' prayer meeting on Tuesday at 10 a.m. will be held at church in the auditorium. The early morning Thursday ladies' prayer meeting will be held at 7 a.m. in the basement of church. And on Friday morning at 7 a.m. is the men's prayer meeting, and it will be held in the basement. And of course, there won't be any more than 10 in attendance at those prayer meetings. So we are still offering the prayer meetings to be running on Zoom online. So you can still join the prayer meeting if you're not able to come to church. Another announcement tonight, we have Sister Downs ministering at church, so please join us online at 6 p.m. to hear Sister Downs ministering. And our last announcement is for women's ministry. We've tried to keep our program kind of running at this time, and this coming Saturday was going to be a women's fellowship where we just get together and have coffee and enjoy each other's company. But this Saturday, we're going to try something different. We're going to have a Zoom meeting. Hopefully you're not all zoomed out with all the meetings that are happening in the last couple of months, but we're going to join together with coffee and tea and a few extra little bits and pieces, which will be explained on the Facebook Women's Ministry page. If you're not part of that, just feel free to contact me and I'll let you know more details. So just before we go on with our service, I would like to just give a small encouragement to mums today. I know we often look at our own mothers and grandmothers, and we saw a couple of grandmothers in that last video, and we wonder, how did they do it all? We can look around us at other mums and we can say to ourselves, how does she do all that she does? We can feel as mums that we're not quite enough, that we're not doing all that we're meant to be doing. There's always something else to do. But as I look at my own grandmother, and there'll be another video shortly, and my grandmother, you'll see photos of my grandmother on that video. And if I listen to all that she did, I am sure that she still had moments where tears filled her eyes and that she thought it was all a bit too hard. You see, we expect motherhood to be a certain way. Very quickly, we see that reality doesn't always meet up with what we expect. We create a perfect image of life in our heads. Not only mothers, everyone does this. We create an image of life in our heads only to find out that it's not exactly the way our life is going. Even Mother's Day, the very day that we take to honour our mums, can hold some expectations. In our heads, we might wake up on Mother's Day after a full night's sleep. We might open our bedroom door to our beautiful children running in to giving us cuddles. Maybe our husband's walking behind them with a tray with hot coffee, a little vase with a flower, and the beautiful homemade cards. In our mind, we think that we're all going to go to church, all children behaving themselves well. After church, we'll go have a beautiful lunch with silver and glasses and the table set all nicely. Maybe your expectations are about your grandchildren coming around and they'll sit around your lap and listen to the stories that you have to tell, and then you'll play a game together afterwards. Maybe you'll have long, happy phone calls from your grown-up children. You see, the reality of Mother's Day and every other day is that it's pretty much like any other day. Life marches on. You wake up early, you step on Lego, you go to the kitchen to make breakfast. That's what the day can be like. It looks like the mess maybe left from the night before. It looks like maybe some grown-up sons and daughters forgetting to call today. Expectation and reality aren't often friends. So today, rather than letting any disappointment fill your mind about whatever life has thrown your way, today, take it and embrace the people that you have been blessed with. Cherish your family and cherish your circumstances, whatever they are, as gifts, and lean into God today. Just maybe the truth is that we aren't enough and that we can't do it all. Maybe the truth is that life will always be a little bit messy and not quite what we expected. Maybe the truth is that we all need to find strength and joy in the one who can give us enough strength and joy. And know that as we walk with Jesus in our everyday, our children will see our faithfulness. They will see the legacy that we leave for them. They will see that we did our best in trying situations. We walked in the strength and the power of God's Spirit. So for anyone today who feels like they just aren't quite enough, remember 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. It says, "And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." God's strength is made perfect in our weakness. So today I hope you have a very happy Mother's Day in all of the messy and real life glory that it brings to you today. Before Pastor Downs comes to share with us, we have one more video to see.
Good morning, church family. Firstly, I would like to thank Pastor Jonathan for giving me this opportunity to honor my mom on this special day. My late mom, Lucy, has been gone for nearly 2 years, and today I would like to honor her and to thank God for her life, because for me, my mom was the most caring, loving, and friendly person I've ever met. And through her life, I learned values like love for one another, love for your neighbor, and love for family. These were truly close to my mother's heart. That's why on days like this, she's dearly missed. I also would like to wish Happy Mother's Day to the mother of my children, my wife Justine, as well as to all the mothers at Calvary Chapel. Happy Mother's Day to you all, and may God bless you. Thank you.
When Pastor Downs asked me to say a few words for Mother's Day, the first thing that came to mind, my mum, was that she was a very industrious lady, she was. And I'd just like to share a few of these things with you. We were brought up in a home that wasn't wealthy or nothing like that, but mum filled the gaps in everything that she'd done. I can always remember coming home from school, and if I wasn't home in time, she'd come looking for me because I'd be around the corner, and I was bullied at school and I'd be in a fight, and I could hear mum coming up the road roaring, "Ray, Ray, Ray, stop that." So anyhow, so that was one. Anyhow, another thing was I can remember mum, every Friday she'd be up at the crack of dawn, about 5 o'clock, and she'd cook until midday, and she'd cook the whole week's biscuits and cakes and everything, and I could always be hanging around mum, wanting to lick the bowls and all that sort of stuff, and that was good. I can remember when the ice man came. We never had a fridge, we had a big ice box we did, and he'd come with a big block of ice, and mum would break the ice up, and we'd be hanging around mum waiting to grab a chunk of ice and go. Mum made all our clothes, she did. I remember sitting there of a night time, and I'd be sitting around her, and she had one of them sewing machines where they had the pedals on them. It wasn't an electric or nothing like that, and she'd make all our school clothes and clothes to go out with, etc. And in our mum did eventually get an electric sewing machine. She dug spuds, she did, potatoes, and she'd bag them up and sell them. And that's how she got her electric sewing machine. But I can see that mum had that Proverbs 31. Even though she never knew it, it was an instinct that mum had. And then when there was trouble and that, Mum would be like a mother hen. We all knew where to run and we'd gather around Mum and that, and she'd cuddle us and give us a kiss and that. And also I used to suffer from nightmares, and I'd come in of a night and I wouldn't go around where Dad was because he'd go crook, but I'd go around where Mum was and she could feel me there. So Mum would move over and then I'd get into bed with her and she'd cuddle me and I'd cuddle into Mum. But, you know, but, yeah, I miss Mum and that, but, yeah, so, yeah, happy Mother's Day, Mum. So.
Wasn't that beautiful to hear from my father and Melanie's father and Sister Robin and Brother Eugene as they reflected on this day about their mothers who have passed on? You see, one of the things we must realize, and I find myself in the last week reminding people, that Mother's Day is not just for children that are alive today. It's not just for mothers that are alive today. But the honoring of our mother and father goes well beyond. Even after they have passed away, we can still honor them. And I thought it was very fitting today to be able to honor some mothers that have passed on. And I just want to remember those today that are joining us, especially our church family. If you've lost your mum this year, and I know that there's a number who have, I just want to tell you that you're in our prayers today. And I pray that the memories of your mum will comfort you today. Of course, you're going to miss her. But when you gather around the table or when you talk on the phone with your children, please talk about your mum, talk about the memories, talk about the great times that you have with your mum, even though she's passed away. Amen. Well, it's time to go to the Word of God, and so I'll ask you if you could turn in your Bibles, and I'm not going to take very long, 2 Kings chapter 4, and we're going to read from verse 1. So while you're turning there, I remember back when I went to church in Melbourne. And I came to Canberra when I was 6. My dad was an assistant pastor there in Melbourne. My grandfather was the pastor. But I remember back in the old days, when people went to church, they used to put the roast in the oven because Sunday was lamb roast or beef roast. They used to put the roast in the oven and they used to go to church and they set the timer. And if the preacher went too long, people used to get worried about their lunch burning. So I'm mindful today that even though while you're at home, I don't want your lunch to burn. And I may be the only thing that stands between you and lunch. And so I'm gonna move quickly. If you can listen fast, I'll preach fast. Is that a good deal? Praise God. I hope you got it in your Bibles. 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 1. And of course, it's Mother's Day. We're going to talk about a mother. It says in 2 Kings 4 verse 1, "Now there cried a certain woman." You see, we've all been there. I'm sure mothers can tell of the times when you haven't known what to do but just to cry. I asked my wife, I texted her, I said, "How's the homeschooling going?" And she told me, "There's been lots of tears today." And I thought that was the boys, but no, it wasn't the boys, it was her. "Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha. And she said, 'Thy servant, my husband, thy servant, Elisha, God, your servant, my husband is dead. And you know that your servant fears the Lord. And you know, after he died, the creditors have come to take unto them my two sons as slaves.'" She cries out, she says, "My husband has died. I've got no way to pay the bills. I got no way to pay the debt. And now the creditors have come to take my sons into slavery." And Elisha said unto her, "What shall I do for thee? What do you want? I mean, you're crying. Tell me, what have you got in your house? What have you got?" Sister Melanie already spoke about this. Sometimes, and most of the time, in fact, all of the time, when it comes to parenting, when it comes to life, we're not enough. We don't have enough. We don't know enough. We always fall short. In our own strength, we can't do it. And so the prophet says to her, he says, "What shall I do? Can you tell me what you've got in your house?" And she said, "Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house." We've got nothing. I've got nothing. I got no resource. I've just got a small pot
of oil. The prophet said, well, go and borrow some vessels. Go and borrow some pots and pans and some crockery. Go and get as much as you can. Go and borrow all of the vessels you can from your neighbors. Go and get empty vessels. Borrow not a few. Get as much as you can. Bring as much emptiness as you can. And when thou art come in, when you come back, shut the door upon yourself and your sons, and then pour out that little bottle of oil, pour it out into the vessels that you're going to set aside, that which is full. He said, pour it out, and as the vessels fill up, put the vessel aside. And so she gets the vessel, she begins to pour the oil, and the vessel fills up. That little bottle of oil never emptied out, and as the vessel filled, she moved it to the side, and then she began to pour again. And so she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, and she brought the vessels to her and she poured out. And it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said unto her son, go get me another vessel. Bring me yet another vessel. Go get another one. It just keeps pouring. This oil, this little bottle, I didn't have much, but now God has done something. And my little is now much because it's in God's hands. Go and bring as many empty vessels as you can. And she poured it out. Eventually her son comes back and he says, there's no more empty vessels. And once there was no more emptiness, the Bible says, and the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go. Now you've got all that oil. Go and sell it and pay the debt. And sell it all off and pay the debt. You're going to be able to pay the debtors and the creditors. You're going to be able to pay them back. And live thou and thy children of the rest. There's going to be enough to pay the creditors, and there's going to be enough to last to provide you for the years to come. And so I want to speak just very shortly today. I want to talk about this, especially to mothers. I want to talk about depending on God. Depending on God. Because I believe that God wants to take our pain, and God wants to teach us to depend on His comfort and to depend on His provision. And as this mother cried out, like many mothers cry out every day, I just can't seem to do it. I just don't seem to know how. I just don't seem to have the strength. I want to tell you that you can depend on God, and your little is much when God is in it, depending on God. Lord, we love you and we thank you for your word today. Lord God, I pray, Lord, that your word would minister to mothers, Lord, our church family and those that are tuning in today. Lord God, that your word would bring faith in people's hearts, oh God, that they would turn their eyes to you and cast their cares and their anxiety and their worries upon you. Lord God, I pray that, Lord, we would not try to do things in our own strength, oh God, but we would depend on you, that we would rely on you, that we would trust in you. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. And everybody say amen. Amen. You see, the problem with pride, and pride manifests itself in many ways, but the problem with pride is that if you are proud, then you tend to think that you can do it on your own. If you're proud, you're not going to depend on God. It's always going to be what you've got. It's always going to be your way. And the problem with pride is that when you fall short, you come to the end of yourself. When you fall short, there doesn't seem to be any hope. Why? Because you're proud and you're putting all of your faith in yourself. And so to depend on God, before I go any further to talk about this topic today, to depend on God, first of all, you need to humble yourself and to realize that, no, you are not enough, that you cannot do it. And when you realize that, when you humble yourself, then you can depend on God. Humility. Humility indicates meekness, but not just meekness, but insufficiency. What I've got is insufficient. That's humility. One who is humble is bowed down and poor. A humble person, like the widow that we read about in our text in 2 Kings 4. The widow recognized her insufficiency. She recognized that she didn't have anything in her house. And that recognition of her emptiness and her insufficiency drove her to the man of God, seeking a solution from God. And so pride, depending on our own self-sufficiency, can prevent God from working in our lives. James chapter 4 verse 6 sums it up so well. It says, God resists the proud. Why does God resist the proud? Because proud people tell God, I don't need you. And God says, well, I'm not going to waste my time on somebody that doesn't need me. I'm not going to waste my time on somebody who is not going to let me help them. And the Bible says in James 4 verse 6 that God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And the thing about grace, and what I love about grace, is where we fall short, grace makes up the difference. When it comes to salvation, you know, none of us are going to be able to live a perfect life, yet we strive to do the best we can, yet we fall short of the glory. We fall short of the mark. And you know what grace is? Grace makes up the difference. The steps that we fall short, grace takes those last couple of steps. And God resists the proud, but he makes the difference. He gives grace to those that are humble. 1 Peter 5 verse 5 says it again. God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. And so I wonder today, and mothers, if you're listening today, maybe you want to say amen after I've said this, but do we have any mothers who have ever felt out of control? We've got one mother here, two mothers here today. I'm going to ask those two mothers, have you ever felt out of control, Sister Melanie? Sister Ruth, have you ever felt out of control? Yes. Online mothers, have you ever felt out of control? Yes, I can hear you almost from here. Have you ever felt insufficient? Have you ever felt like you just don't seem to know what you're doing, not enough, or even lost, or I'm sure that you felt this, but have you ever felt completely exhausted? A woman once told a friend of hers, they obviously had a little bit of time to talk, and mothers don't often get time to talk with their friends, but a woman once told a friend of hers, she says, I got so many problems in my life right now, that if anything else goes wrong, it's going to take me 2 weeks before I can get around to worrying about it. She said, I got so much trouble, I got so many problems in my life, that if one more thing goes wrong, it's going to take me 2 weeks. It's going to be 2 weeks before I can even worry about it, because we all feel so exhausted, so overwhelmed. Do we have any mothers that have ever felt like throwing in the towel? I'm sure, although I'm not a mother, but I'm sure I can speak on behalf of all mothers, that there have been times where you literally felt like giving up. If you could have, you might have done so. Felt like giving up. And we use the term throwing in the towel. And that word throwing in the towel is, it's about boxing, because in boxing the two guys would be in the ring and they'd be boxing, and when one of the fighters begins to lose or begins to become exhausted and can't fight anymore, sometimes that boxer might keep trying to fight, but his team who are sitting in the corner realize he just can't keep doing this. He's exhausted. He's getting smashed. And so his coach will take the towel and throw the towel into the middle of the ring, which says, we give up. We're stopping the fight. And I'm sure there's been many a mother that has felt like that, like throwing the towel in. Have you ever felt like that, mothers? Where you just feel like throwing the towel in the ring and saying, I just can't keep fighting. And so have you ever felt like that? Sometimes you want to throw in the towel. The problem is, though, the referee won't call the fight off. You've tried, but you've still got to keep going, and it just keeps coming day after day, school day after school day, dirty nappy after dirty nappy, bed sheet after bed sheet, clothes after clothes. In fact, we've got a pile of clothes at home, clothes that need to be ironed, the ironing pile. I know everyone's got them, and we try to hide them. We try to pretend we don't have one, but we've got an ironing pile that I like to call every now and then. It's not always this bad, but every now and then I like to call the ironing pile. I call it Mount Pinatubo. which is a very big mountain. It's in fact a volcano. And we've got a Mount Pinatubo. Has anyone else out there got a Mount Pinatubo? A big mountain of washing. But it just keeps coming, and you try to throw the towel and you try to walk away, but the referee won't stop the fight. And so here's the reality. When our car breaks down, we go to the mechanic. When our clothes need to be fixed, we go to the tailor. When your grades are failing, you can get a tutor. But where do you go when your life begins to fall apart? Where do you go when you come to the end of yourself? Let me tell you today where we can go. We can depend on God. What we can do is we can do the best we can. Do what you can do and allow God to do the rest. Do your best and then depend on God for the rest. And this is a story that we read today about this mother. She had done all she could. She lost her husband. She couldn't pay the debt that she owed anymore. She fell short. She went to the man of God and said, I need some help. He said, what do you got? She says, I got nothing. She comes with humility. She says, all I've got, and maybe I can find a little pot of oil here. She said, all I've got is just a little bottle of oil. All I've got, that's all I've got. Can you imagine the pain that this mother is feeling right now? All sorts of pain. First of all, we think about the crisis that she's facing. She's come to the end of herself, and she's experiencing tremendous emotional pain. What do you mean emotional? Well, her husband has died, and some of you even that are tuning in our church family, mothers, you know what it's like to lose your husband. And I especially just think of Sister Letty today, who lost her husband just in the last couple of weeks. We keep her in our prayers. Some of us know what it's like to lose a spouse. She is in emotional pain. But on top of the emotional pain, now she's experiencing financial pain. The death of her husband, which in those days he would have been the sole breadwinner. The death of her husband has left her without money. It has left her borrowing. She borrowed money and she couldn't repay it. Now the creditors are knocking on the door. They're knocking on the door and they're saying, come on, it's time to pay up. It's time to give back the money that we loaned to you. The financial pain. To add to that, the physical pain. The physical pain of hunger. She said, we've got nothing in the house. They were hungry. And then the maternal pain. And mothers know exactly what that's like. That maternal pain. The pain you feel on behalf of your children. Because now the creditors are coming. And they want to take the two sons as slaves. Because of the debt. She's lost her husband. Now she's about to lose her children. In 2 Kings 4 verse 1, it says, and the creditor came to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. You see, in ancient times, creditors would often come and take children from the debtors to repay the bills. They would take the children as slaves, and in Exodus 21 verse 2 to 4, you can read about it. But the Mosaic law, back in the Mosaic law in the Old Testament, it permitted the Hebrews to take other Hebrews as slaves for a period of 6 years. But those slaves had to be released in the year of Jubilee. She's experiencing emotional pain. She's experiencing physical pain. She's experiencing financial pain. She's experiencing maternal pain. And she is also experiencing spiritual pain. If you look at the verses again, she's got some questions. She said, man of God. She said, God, your servant. He's your servant. He gave his life to serving you. She said, he gave his life. He feared God. We did all we could. We were a God-fearing family. She says, why God? Why my husband? Why me? Why us? Elisha, my husband feared God. We served God. Why am I in this mess? She is expressing the spiritual pain that she has. She says, I came to church every week and I prayed every day. We read our Bible together. We had family devotions. My husband was a man of God. Why me? Why him? Why us? Why am I in this situation? The spiritual pain. we love God, she said, we fear God, but right now I can't find him. You see, Brother Tenney used to say these words, and I can't remember exactly what he said, and to phrase it the exact way he said, but he used to say this, he used to say, even when you can't track God's hand, even when you can't track him, you can always trust him. Even when you can't find him, you can always trust him. Even when I can't see him, he's moving. Even when I can't feel him, he's moving. Even when I can't track his hand, I can trust his heart. She said, I might not know how it will be accomplished. I don't know how God is going to do it, but I do know the who. I do know that God is able to bring it to pass. When you can't track God, when you can't trace God, I want to tell somebody today that you can always trust God. The story of Joseph is a powerful example of that. In all of the situations and circumstances he found himself in, there are a few words that are repeated over and over again. When he was in the pit, when he was sold into slavery, when he was lied about and people were being dishonest and all those things. When you go through the story of Joseph, you'll see it over and over again. The words it says, and the Lord was with Joseph. When you can't track him, you can trust him. And so the mother cried out to God. She let her voice be heard. She said, God, I need help. And when God allows a crisis to come into your life, and sometimes God will allow crisis to come into our life, I want to tell you one of the reasons he will allow a crisis is so that it will make you hungry for change. And I believe somewhat that that's what's happening in our world today, that God has allowed this pandemic to happen so that people would turn their eyes to God. I'm not saying that God sent it, but God is allowing it to happen because he is God. He could stop it if he wanted, but he's allowing it for a purpose that we would become hungry for change. And so this mother had faith to cry out to God. I pray today that there's a mother under the sound of my voice listening today that you have faith to cry out to God. But it's not just some mental attitude in our mind. You see, faith requires a stretch. Faith requires a move. Faith says, even though this, it hasn't changed yet, nevertheless, like the fishermen that had been fishing all night, they caught nothing. And then Jesus said, throw your net on the other side. They could have said, well, okay, Jesus, we believe it. But you know what? Faith requires a stretch. They had to stretch. They had to do something. And the Bible says they responded to Jesus. They said, we have tried all night. Nevertheless, at thy word, we're going to throw out our net again. You see, faith always requires a stretch. Faith requires a move. Faith must be obedience in motion. Faith is not about just discussing it. No, faith is obedience in motion. If there is no motion, there is no faith. If there is no move, there is no faith. It doesn't matter how faithful or how, I don't even know if this is a word, how faithish you feel, we must exercise our faith. Exercise means to work it out, means to put your faith in action. The Bible says faith without works is dead. And so the woman cries out to God, and Elisha responds and says, are you willing to do something? Are you willing to make a move? Are you ready to stretch your faith? Are you ready to take the little that you've got, and are you willing to put it in God's hands? And Elisha says something strange. He said, I want you to go to your neighbors. I want you to get all the vessels you can, clay pots, cooking pots, water pots, whatever empty vessels you can find, bring them. Number one, make sure they are empty. Number two, don't just bring a few, bring as many as you can find. Go to your neighbors. Now, let me just quickly just reflect on when I was a child. I remember the olden days when it was fine to go to your neighbors and borrow something. I remember times that there was Mrs. Paddle over the road, and we had neighbors that my mum would send us next door because the shops were often closed on the weekends or in the evenings. There were no 24-hour shops, but mum would say, can you go and ask Mrs. Paddle if you can get some flour? Can you go ask Mrs. Paddle if you can get some sugar? We used to go next door to Frank and Maria, a lovely Italian couple, and sometimes we'd have to borrow 2 eggs because Mum was baking a cake, and they would come next door and they'd borrow something from us. So it wasn't strange when I was a kid. And the man of God tells her, go to your neighbors and borrow as many empty vessels as you can. Make sure they're empty, and make sure you don't just bring a few. You see, the man of God realized this spiritual principle, that the amount of your emptiness will determine the amount of your filling. And when we come before God, if you want to get something from God, you don't come with your pride. You don't come with your full. You don't come with everything that you can do. Because with God, emptiness is the currency of heaven. When you bring your emptiness, the amount of your emptiness, when you bring your emptiness to God, the amount of your emptiness will determine the amount of your filling. And some of us today, that is our testimony. We came to God empty. We came to God lost. I had nothing to offer for him, but he filled me, he restored me, he satisfied me, because the principle is there that God rejects the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So bring your emptiness to God, because the amount of your emptiness will determine the amount of your filling. I want to remind a mother today, if you're trying to do it on your own, let me tell you, if you're trying to do it on your own, God can't do anything to help you. But when you bring your emptiness to him, when you come to the end of yourself and you say, God, I just can't keep going. I just don't know what to do. I'll tell you, when you depend on God, God can help you. And my encouragement today in this short time of preaching is to encourage somebody to depend on God. God, I got nothing. God, I don't know what to do. God, I just can't figure this one out. Let me tell you why you bring it to God, because God's way is always the best way to fix life's problems. God's way is always the best way to fix life's problems. You can go talk to your friends and that will be good, but let me tell you, the best way to fix life's problems is God's way. When it comes to dilemmas, when it comes to time of trouble, when we are falling short, we've got to seek God's word for our dilemma. Human opinion won't solve the problems. The Holy Spirit will give you guidance. The word of God will give you guidance. Why? Because God's way is always the best way. And I lived 42 years to tell you this, that the best way to do life is according to God's plan. The best place to take your problems is to take them to God. The best place to take your falling short is to take them to God. The best place to take your emptiness is to take it to God. Why? Because God's way is always the best way when we face life's problems. The second point is God is the source and provider. He is Jehovah Jireh, my provider. And so he is our provider. So bring all the emptiness you can. Bring not a few, but bring the emptiness and let God do the rest. The next point is that God's way is trustworthy. We say it like this, we say God is faithful. Why don't you say that right now? God is faithful. Why don't you proclaim it in your house right now? God is faithful. She had nothing. The house was empty, save a small little pot of oil, a small little bottle of oil. The poor widow, when she listened to the voice of Elisha, all she had was just a small bottle of oil. Isaiah 55 verse 8 says, God's ways are higher than our ways. Even though sometimes God's ways might be hard to understand, even though God's ways might even defy logic at times, I want to tell you that God's ways are higher than our ways. You see, human solutions, kind of like junk food. I try not to eat too much junk food or KFC or McDonald's and all that sort of stuff. But human solutions are like junk food. The problem with junk food is that when you have the real stuff, when you're ready to eat healthy food, then you don't feel hungry. Because why? You filled yourself up on junk food. And so the problem with people's opinions and worldly opinions is that when God's solution comes along, you don't have room to receive it. Why? Because you filled your life with worldly opinions and what the world thinks. Junk food has a way of curbing your appetite for the healthy. I want to tell you that God's way is the only way. God's way is the way. He's always trustworthy. God is faithful. The next point is, and this woman found it as she went to God with her nothing, as she went to God with her emptiness. She just had a little bit of strength. God is, and this is the next point, the fourth point is that God is more generous than we could ever think. She gathered as much emptiness as she could. She brought as much emptiness as she could find. And what did God do? He filled up every empty vessel. She only wanted enough to get through the current crisis. She said, I just want enough just to get through another day. I just want enough to get these creditors off my doorstep. She just wanted enough to get through the next day. But God said, trust in me. I am Jehovah Jireh. And I want to tell you today that when you put your trust in God, He'll be more generous than you could ever. You see, when we trust in God, when we depend on God, we will find that God is more generous than we could have ever dreamed. She paid her debts, and the Bible says she had enough for her living for the future. In just six verses, in just one encounter with God, this poor widow had enough to pay the debtors and to retire. And maybe today you're listening to this message. Mothers, others who are listening, I want to tell you, when you bring your emptiness to God, just one encounter is enough to provide all of the joy that you've ever looked for. One encounter with God is enough to satisfy your heart. You can search everywhere in the world, and like the famous U2 song, they said, I still haven't found what I'm looking for. But just one encounter with God, you'll find that He's more generous than you could have ever thought. God can multiply our resources. All through the Bible, even in our church family, testimony after testimony of people who have depended on God. When they were short, what did they do? They gave it to God. When they were empty, what did they do? They gave it to God. When they had questions, what did they do? They gave it to God. When they were burdened, what did they do? They gave it to God. I want to tell you that our little is much when God is in it. If you would just take your little and put it in God's hands, you'll find that He can powerfully multiply your resources. He can take your little and He can make it much. Maybe today you're sitting at home and you're feeling completely empty. If God can do that much in just six verses for that widow woman, imagine what He can do with just one prayer today as you bring your emptiness to God. When God called Moses, Moses said, I got nothing. God says, what's that you've got in your hand? God says, use that stick. Use what you got, Mo. What happened? That stick parted the Red Sea. David went into battle against Goliath. He wasn't a man of warfare. He didn't know much, but you know what? He had been out in the field looking after some sheep. He felt the call of God, and God says, I'm calling you, David. David says, I haven't got much. I'm not a soldier. God says, I can use that sling. David used that sling to kill Goliath. Samson went into battle with the jawbone of an ass, killed 1,000 Philistines. Jesus multiplied the lunch of the lad, just 5 loaves and 2 fishes, fed 5,000 men, plus women and children. Do you feel like you're not enough today? Do you feel like you fall short? Do you feel empty, out of solutions, exhausted, mothers? I'm talking about depending on God. God wants our faith. You might not hear this preached very often, especially in churches these days, but God wants our faith and God also wants our poverty. He says, bring it to me. Not your wealth, not your self-sufficiency. God wants your faith and He wants your emptiness. Bring it to me. You will never discover that God is all you need until God is all you have. 1 Peter 5, verse 6 and 7. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Casting all God is speaking to somebody right now. Humble yourself under the hand of the mighty God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all of your cares upon Him, because He cares for you. I close with a poem my mom would often read. It's called The Weaver. It was written by Benjamin Franklin. The Weaver. My life is but a weaving between my Lord and me. I cannot choose the colors. He worketh steadily. Oftentimes He weaveth sorrow, and I in foolish pride forget that He sees the upper and I the underside. You see, when you do a tapestry, there's the top and there's the bottom. It looks beautiful on the top. And God sees the top, but we see the bottom. Not till the loom is silent and the shuttle ceases to fly shall God unroll the canvas, and He will explain the reason why. You see, the dark threads are as needful in the weaver's skillful hand. They're just as needful as the threads of gold and silver in the pattern that He has planned. He knows, He loves, He cares. Nothing this truth can dim. He gives His very best to those who choose to walk with Him. I'm going to change it up. He knows, He loves, He cares. Nothing this truth can dim. God gives His very best to those who choose to depend on Him. And today, this short time as we've gathered together for Mother's Day, I'm speaking to mothers, but I'm speaking to everybody. Why don't you put your trust in God? Why don't you depend on God? The best place that we can find ourselves is when we are depending on God. And so I pray it is your proclamation today that you will say, I choose to trust in God. I choose to depend on God. We're going to close out this service. I'm going to ask my wife to come here with me now. We're just going to pray for all the mothers. It is my wife. We're not going to be socially distanced right now. I'd love to put my arm around her as she prays, but we're going to pray for all the mothers. Right now, maybe we can do something special. Kids, can you please get up off the chair where you are and just go over? You can hug Mum. You can put your arm around Mum right now. And let's pray for Mum, because Mum's just a human. I know you think she's superwoman, but there's times when she feels like she's got nothing, and all she's got to do is depend on God. We're going to pray for our mums that God would bless them, that God would strengthen them, and that they would be able to cast all their cares upon God. Come on, families, gather together now. I'm so glad to see some kids doing that now. Well done. Good. Be brave. It's good. Go and lay your hands on Mum. Hold her hand. Put your arm around her. Maybe you're with Grandma. My boys are with Grandma, Gran right now. Lucas and Thomas, go and sit on Gran's knee and pray for Gran. Gran's a mother, mama as well, and a grandma. She's got double trouble. Praise God. Sister Melanie, lead us in prayer for our mums.
Lord Jesus, You are so faithful to us. Yes. Lord, You are our strength. Yes. You are our very present help in time of trouble, Lord. And Lord Jesus, we just take this time to thank You for Your blessings to us. Lord, we thank You, God, that You see us, that You see behind us, before us, Lord, that You walk beside us. And we thank You that this day that You are walking beside us. And I just pray for every mother, Lord, and every grandmother, Lord Jesus. You see the hearts of our mothers, and Lord God, I pray that You would fill their hearts with love right now. Lord, fill them with peace and comfort. Lord, help them to know that they are appreciated and loved, Lord Jesus. Lord, we thank You, God, for all Your blessings to us, Lord Jesus. Lord, where would we be without You, Lord Jesus? How we need You every single day, every one of us. And Lord, we commit this day into Your hands. Lord, that You would bless it and that You would be with us. We pray in Your precious name, Jesus.
Amen. And so all of our children today, listen to Pastor just a moment. Children, I think it's a great day to go and ask Mum and Dad, what can I do to help around the house? Maybe there's some leaves in the backyard. Yes, it's autumn. Maybe you can go rake some leaves. Maybe you just need to tidy your room. But you can find something special to do for Mum today. I pray you all have a lovely day. At 3 o'clock on our children's channel, our CC Kids Facebook page, we'll have another Sunday school lesson, a fresh one, for all of our children. But make sure you join that. But before you join Sunday school at 3 o'clock, children, make sure you go give Mum a big kiss and ask her what you can do for her to help her today. God bless you all. Have a great Sunday and happy Mother's Day to all our mothers. In Jesus' name.